Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
The final round of Triple M's Footy Mania kicks off with the Battle of the Bridge.
Swans and the Giants pushing and shoving all around the ground.
But rather than Sydney Harbour, this time it's the Battle of the Narrows Bridge in Perth.
Game on and off the stadium!
Although with GWS and Sydney's rivalry, there'll probably still be a coat hanger.
He got decapitated! He had a full swing at his head!
It's Triple M's
Footy Mania.
What you gonna do, brother?
For McDonald's,
Triple M
rocks footy.
Absolutely. Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef. Sydney and GWS today. Our guest today, John Longmire, coach of the Sydney Swans, coming up in just a couple of moments. Tom Brown with all of the latest in news. And Shane Mumford, who's not playing for GWS tonight, will be our guest a little bit later on in the program as I welcome Wayne Carey. Good evening and welcome,
Doug. Hello, BT. Good to be here. Good to be out of the house.
Yes,
actually, that's what's good to be here. Mm. That's why I'm
Nath Brown is with us as well. Brownie, hello.
Yeah, always good to be here, Brian.
Why?
Because it's footy. And look, we've got a bit of a trepidation about this game. We're hoping that it's a good game. We don't know. We're getting good and bad game at the moment. But the last 2 weeks, I think there's been some pretty good footy being played.
And Bernie Vince, welcome to you, Bern.
Hello, boys. Surrounded by royalty here a little bit. Should have brought the autograph book. I feel a little bit out of my depth.
Oh, you're sitting next to the all-time great there, Wayne Carey. Yeah,
been whispering a few stories to me too, and geez, aren't I just listening to every word he's saying.
Oh, yeah, he's got something to say. Gold Coast Bombers last night with a draw. It was an interesting game. I don't know whether you watched it last few minutes. In fact, the whole game was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, had it on in the background. As Brownie said before, I reckon we've had some really good games. Obviously, it was only 4 or 5 days ago we had Port Adelaide Richmond, which is an absolute beauty. I think we'll got a really good one again tomorrow night, BT. But you're right, last night's game I thought was a really good standard. They're playing some good footy, aren't they?
What did you think of Isaac Rankin? So there's 90 seconds to go in the game. Man on the mark's at 55, 53, right? Turns his back on the play, uses up the time, goes back, you know. Now, I'm thinking this guy must have it covered. I saw him kick one on fifth from 50 on the run earlier in the game. I thought, well, maybe he is that good.
I don't care whether you mark the ball 20 metres out directly in front. You don't turn your back.
No.
You always turn around straight away and walk because something could bob up. Something really obvious and easy could bob up. So especially when you're that far out, I mean, he'll learn. He'll obviously learn from it. But
Back with such confidence, didn't he?
He doesn't. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
He doesn't lack any confidence, does he, for a young fella?
So obviously thought he could kick that burn, didn't he, last night? Turned his back. And look, if he had made the distance, it was a great play because he ran down the clock. There was a minute to go, maybe 55 seconds when he took the mark. So he obviously thought he could probably get it either through for a behind or to close enough where they might force it through. Then you're a point up. But just the way he went back, you thought, geez, he's got some confidence, this young man. And just he didn't strike it that well. He did hook it a bit.
Yeah, and he strikes you as a player that sort of knows his game and his confidence. So when he did turn his back, I was a bit with BT. Yeah. I thought, oh, wow, he's obviously got a roosting leg. And when he didn't make the distance, I thought, oh, that's not a great look. But what we've seen in his first few games is he's full of confidence and he can do the things that probably, you know, other first years can't. So, it's a bit of a coach. You taught that as a young age, aren't you, Duck, to turn around and
particularly
have a look.
Given Duck, all they needed was any score would do.
Yeah, yeah.
And so to get it, you know, 10 metres from goal and be able to punch it through.
It's a classic case of when you're kicking from that far out, and clearly he knows he's got the distance. So I reckon if he went back at training, he'd make the distance 9 times out of 10. So clearly he had the confidence to do that. But so often, Brownie, when you're in that situation and then you try to overkick it, you mistime it.
Yep.
So distance, timing, technique equals distance.
All right, time to jump into our first guest. Johnny Longmire has been good enough to give us a couple of minutes before tonight's game, Sydney and GWS. Horse, welcome to you. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
No worries, everyone.
Couple back into the side. Nick Blakey, we're just talking off air before, back into the side.
Yeah, we brought him back in the side. We gave him a run last week through the midfield, and in an ideal world, we'd like to give him another week in through there at the next level down to get some more experience, but there's no games this weekend, so we thought we'd like to get some difference, a bit of a different look through that area of the ground, you know, be half forward midfield, and we think he brings a point of difference to us, so good to get him back in.
Yeah, Horse, what were you looking for, though, when you sent him back? What were some of the things that you wanted him to do back there? Or is it just purely to have more time on ball?
Yeah, well, it's a bit of both, Duck. It's sometimes you just need a part of development like we did with him last year was just to was just to take the pressure off for a week. And he went back last year and did the same thing, came back and had a strong finish. And then part of it was also that to get some time on ball at the next level down. We think he can help that. He learned a bit last week. He'll continue to learn on the job against a very good midfield tonight.
Horse smashed in contested ball clearance inside 50 last week. How do you address that during the week with it's actually an extended break, isn't it, really, with the normal breaks? But how do you address that with the limited training?
Well, you go into it. You've got to dig in where and when. I mean, in the clearances, particularly in the first half, it was a lot of it was free kicks. And so then when we gave all those free kicks away in that first quarter and a half, it meant the ball was living in a territory sense down in our back half. So we struggled to get it out of our back half, struggled to get the exits out. And therefore the ball was played for that majority of the first half in our back half. We sort of rectified that in the third term. But again, teams like Collingwood, you can't afford to do it. So you make the most of the opportunities to train. You don't get a lot of training these days. Even when you do get a 7-day break, you're not allowed to do a lot of contested work. So we do what we do, like every other team. You just make do and get on with it.
You dream of great stuff in your first game, and unfortunately for young Sam Wicks, there was an incident, and I feel really bad for the young man because you want to remember your first game for all the good reasons. As a coach, what do you say to him after that? Because he'd feel pretty bad about it, even though it wasn't his fault. Obviously, he didn't mean it, and it was just an accident, a freak accident in footy. But as a coaching group, what do you guys say to the young man?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously spoke to him after the game to make sure he's feeling okay about it. I mean, his first game, and now, it was an accident. He certainly didn't do it with any level of intent, as everyone knows. So, look, he was okay. He understood that. I think he sent a message to Isaac and wish him all the best. Hopefully he recovers well and he gets another opportunity tonight. We thought his pressure, you know, in a game sense, we turned his attention to that pretty quickly, which you need to do with a young player. Is just how do he play and get his focus on that and make sure that he gets his focus on the next game very quickly.
Hey, Horse, Callum Mills, I haven't watched every game that you played this year, but he seems to be having a very, very good year. Will he ever go on ball?
He's been on ball a few times this year, Duck. He's been probably three or four games he's played midfield for us. So he's spent time a bit of both this year. And so with George Hewitt and Isaac Heaney and Josh Kennedy, those midfielders out, it's given him the opportunity to come through a few times and play mid. And we think he's doing a bit of both at the moment, which has been good for him and an opportunity for him to grow as well.
And it's created an opportunity for James Rowbottom as well. I noticed that he's been starting with the starting mids, Johnny, my nephew. He's looking pretty solid in there for you.
He's going well, BT. He's going really well. I mean, he's almost played every game since he's turned up at our footy club. So he's, which is great. You forget how young he is. He's only a second-year player, and he's been playing midfield for us now for a good all of this year and a fair portion of last year. So, he's going really well, BT. He's a beauty. I love him.
Horse, you've played and debuted the most out of any side in the competition. 38th player tonight this year will be Zach Foote. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, we're getting some really good footy into some younger blokes in our footy team. And Zach's another one that we debuted tonight. He's a hard-running half forward, so he's got great endurance and great speed. And he and Bell Wicks are three young forwards. They won't get everything right in our front half, but they compete really hard and they'll put in. And that's what we give them opportunity. We give them a specific role in our team to be able to do that. And Zach's one with great speed and just get up and down the ground and put pressure on. And hopefully he gets that right tonight.
Good luck tonight, Johnny. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Johnny Longmire, coach of the Sydney Swans.
Do you reckon there's you look at all the derbies and the showdowns and all of that and the Battle of the Bridge. I mean, when obviously GWS first came into the competition, Sydney, well, they didn't want it because they want Sydney all to themselves. And I remember when North tried to push their way up there, BT, they got very sort of narky. There was a little bit of hatred, but it doesn't seem to be that with these two sides, really, do you think?
There was
initially. Not like initially there was, but I don't know, it's waned a little, do you think? Pardon the pun.
Turned into a bit of a Q clash.
Well, no, I think the Q clash. There's a bit of feeling in that one because for the same reasons. But I don't know. It just seems like there's not that real fire about you know, these two teams like there once was.
Well, it's only going to come from, I guess,
when they're both, well, they played that final, really well, when they were playing finals.
At the moment, they're not going that well both at the same time. So there was definitely some heat. I remember when they played that final and Stevie J, was involved in the thick of it, yeah.
Now, this is a new segment. Haven't had time to fill you in on the new segment yet. But this is a segment where you guys bring news. And you bring it in, and it's all about what's happening up there in the hubs. You know, and the wags have arrived, and everyone's up there. And any news coming out of the hubs? Brownie, heard anything?
So this is...
Yeah, you contribute, and we listen.
I was just thinking that maybe we get a heads up on some of the topics, but let's go through it. Apparently there's been people wanting walls built in their hotel rooms. I think that's an old one.
That was last week's, Brownie.
That's an oldie.
Are there any updates on what's happening?
I think the biggest update, BT, is the fact that a lot of the families now are out of the quarantine, so they're able to
be
mix
relatively normal.
Yes, and mix with some
constraints
with their partners. So there was a lot of good vision going around on social media today with players. You know, dads seeing their kids for the first time. In a while, which was very touching.
Has anybody been able to get a dog up there, Duck? That's all I want to know. Has a private jet got up there at all?
Well, if you really want, just buy a dog while you're up there.
Well, Tommy Brown's going to come up on the other side of the break as well, and we're going to have a bit of a chat to him. But I think WA, with the regulations over there, and we've all been thinking, you know, Optus Stadium, Grand Final, Adelaide Oval, great choices. I just think now with the WA government not wanting to relax any guidelines for teams to enter there in a big way, I reckon it's looking more and more like that the grand final is going to go to Queensland.
At the Gabba?
I just think it's looking more and more like that.
The Gabba, not Metricon?
Oh, I'm not sure which ground it'll be at, but I just think that it's more about regulations.
To be honest, PT, all along I've said Optus Oval or Adelaide Oval for me, footy states, blah, 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 but the Queensland deserve it. I mean, what they've done for footy, they've kept this game alive. We're going to be able to hopefully have a grand final. So I think they deserve it, and I don't think anyone would be upset if they got it.
So when is it going to be? Because the other thing I wanted to ask you is, going into the finals, with the shortened games that we've had, the fact that they will have, by the time teams make the finals in Queensland, they've already spent 10 weeks in the hub. Do you think that the sides that make it, the eight that make it, will want to have a week's break, a bye, before the finals? Or do you think, given they've already been away for 10, they'll just want to get on with it?
I reckon they'll just get on with it.
Our players would want to get on with it.
Yeah. The AFL are weighing this up at the moment as to whether to have this bye or whether to go straight into it.
No, I think they'll definitely want to get into it. As a player, they've been away. I remember when they first left, when the players first left, they thought they were going for a 4 or 5 week period, and then that all of a sudden...
31 days it was.
31, yeah. So, and then all of a sudden it turned into a 8 week, and then a second mini, you know, compacted the games together, and all of a sudden they left thinking they were going to be 31 days. Now it's going to be a whole season, including finals. So I'm sure they'll just be more than happy to punch this out.
And if I was from any of the Victorian teams, BT, now that they've got their families up there, once the season's over and you're not playing finals, I'm staying up there.
You're staying.
I'd be staying up there. Why would you come back to Melbourne?
So, Brownie.
And, it's a good point. It's actually a really good point.
I would
point,
just like, stay lifestyle. To the... You know, obviously, it'll be at their cost. Cause
probably to feed the dog.
And
mow the lawns.
The budgies.
See the relatives.
It's someone to do plant. That.
See mum.
I'd just stay up there. Well, you're not allowed to go and see your mum. This
face
is the thing.
Time.
You're not allowed
time.
To do any of that.
So, Brownie, now you're...
So, you haven't seen anybody in this six-week lockdown?
No. Who? Who?
You.
Oh, well, when I drive to the supermarket, when I do my hours power walk.
Oh, you're essential service.
Yes,
so
Brian.
Bernie and Brownie, both sort of reasonably good horsemen, know your horses. Mm-hmm. So that would mean, if there was no break, no bye, it would mean that the grand final would be on Caulfield Cup Day.
Yes.
Happy with that?
I'm happy with that. I think it'd be a great day. Yeah, great day of punting for the racing. And I would have thought that the AFL would then have either a twilight grand final or a night grand final. Maybe Caulfield Cup starts an hour earlier at 11 o'clock, and maybe the Caulfield Cup's run around 4 p.m. and then you've got the grand final straight after that. What a day that'd be, Duck.
Wouldn't you be just punting? If they have the bye.
Go straight through, Duck.
Probably if they have the bye.
You wouldn't see much of the footy, would you?
No. It's a long day. If they have the bye, it would be end up being Cox Plate Day, is that right?
Yes, but I don't think they need a bye. But what they're talking about having a bye between the prelim and the grand final now, aren't they? They're having a weekend off before the grand final. I don't think they need one when round 17 finishes and they go into the finals. I think it should keep going, but maybe week off before the grand final.
Do we all agree that this is the year for it to be a night grand final?
100%.
Yep. I think
It has to be, doesn't it?
Could it be on a Sunday?
And for that reason that you just spoke about, the races.
Could it be on a Sunday? Say after Caulfield Cup. Like then you think you know... No fixture issues.
It would be down to broadcasting which day brings more people, but gee, that's a good point, actually. Sunday or Saturday night?
Oh, grand finals. It's got to be on the Saturday.
Would we be live at the grand final?
Us?
Yeah.
Would we be going up?
Yeah, is Ewan working on that?
I think Ewan, our boss at Triple M Footy, is up there at the moment trying to secure the. Brother house.
And Ewan, I know Ewan will be listening. He wouldn't be taking full advantage of being up there.
No. No.
Not at all.
No.
He's got that skin, hasn't he? He's got that Queensland skin.
He got out of quarantine today, our boss.
Oh, did he?
Tom Brown is now joining us with all the latest in footy news, and he's been up there in Queensland. Well, how long have you been up there now for, Tom?
BT, I've been in Sydney for 2 weeks and Queensland for about three, so I've sort of been on the road now for five and a half weeks. I'm lucky enough to have my wife up here as well. So I'm lucky to be covering footy and, to be frankly, lucky to be in such a safe environment up here. It's fantastic.
Are you making the most of it, Tom, or are you just being boring?
Duck, I've sort of been working hard. Me and my cameraman, Jamie, we get out for a surf every now and then. But one time I went body surfing at Broadbeach the other day. I jammed my shoulder into the surf break, and I haven't been game to go back. But now every time I sleep,
Tom,
it's sore. I need
you've got to go out where it's slightly deeper, mate. You've got to get above your knees.
there's a beach break there, I'm told. It's quite dangerous.
How is the rig at the moment, Tom? How are you looking?
Looking all right, Brownie. I'm just trying to train up just a little bit and use the conditions up here to get slightly fitter. So I reckon I'm 10% better than usual, but I've got a long way to go. I'm coming off a long run.
Everyone's come out of quarantine up there today. Has there been any... What's gone on up there today, Tom?
BT, I've been up on the Sunshine Coast today. So for some context, 400 members of the families have come out of quarantine today. They've all gone to their respective hubs. So they've been quarantined, those families, for 14 days now in isolation. The players have been waiting 5 or 6 weeks. I went up to Sunshine Coast to where Collingwood were, and a lot of them went to the beach pretty quickly and went for a bit of a swim. Brodie Grundy was with his partner. Chris Mayne was reunited with his family, all the Melbourne families.
Collingwood, Melbourne, anything happening there, Tom?
Yeah, plenty, BT. I've just spoken to Darren Burgess this afternoon, their fitness guru at Melbourne. Luke Jackson, who was set to fill in for Max Gorn, who's in significant doubt, has a tendon injury, Jackson. He's going to miss, probably the rest of the season, 5 or 6 weeks. Now, Gorn's in doubt for this clash as well against Collingwood. So they've got ruck issues. I think Prissell have to fill the void. Now, Gorn's got a fitness test tomorrow, but he's in pretty significant doubt because he's got the PCL issue, which is the knee issue, as well as the shoulder issue. Melbourne tell me that it doesn't require surgery just at the minute, and they haven't got the luxury of resting anyone. They've got to make finals. But at the same time, they don't want to risk Gorn. So I think they'll probably err on the conservative side. Having said that, they've really got to beat Collingwood.
So does that bring Wiedemann, Duck, or someone? Is there anyone else, Tom?
Tom McDonald. He's
Tom McDonald.
Done a bit of rucking. But
battling
Braden
along.
Pruce, they might bring in.
Prucey, big Prucey, yeah. What else you got for us up there, Tom? What else is happening?
Just from a condensed fixture perspective, the AFL is going to release the next stage of the fixture, BT, tomorrow. We know up in Cairns, Fremantle, and Sydney are going to be up there. We know Hawthorn will hub briefly in the Barossa Valley for a bit in South Australia. But just in terms of the condensed fixture, the AFL is going to revert to rapid games. Mark Stevens has quoted that on 7 News tonight, just explaining that round 13 is more traditional in terms of its structure, but the AFL want to keep the season going, push on, and there's club support for that. I know they were consulting a lot of clubs and players in regards to whether the 3, 4, 5 days works, and I think everyone's pretty supportive. We're seeing injuries increase, particularly from a soft tissue injury perspective, but actually speaking to Darren Burgess tonight at Melbourne, he was explaining that clubs are adapting, and that's sort of what's going on. So the AFL keen to press ahead with the season while they can, because I'm not being extremist, but we've seen with this New Zealand situation that COVID can pop up in weird places. So the AFL is grateful to be getting games away while we can at the moment.
Tommy, some good news for Carlton fans. They've locked away Jacob Wiedering for what they've described as a mega contract extension. Can you explain, please?
Yeah, so they've locked away Wiedering today on what they've described as a mega contract extension. I mean, that's obviously good news for the Blues. A lot of clubs have been negotiating during contract free sort of, you know, sort of heads of agreement sense. But what we'll see now is trade talk heat up significantly. I've reported this week that North's writing to Williams and Core at GWS. Williams hasn't signed his 5-year offer as yet. And but the only issue there, of course, is the teams don't know the list sizes and also the salary cap at the moment. They've got an idea and they're inserting clauses to protect the player and the club in the contracts when they do renegotiate that deal. But what we're going to see is a lot of trade activity in a quick period at the end of the year because, you know, teams haven't had the, I guess, the length that they would usually have to negotiate these types of deals. And it's also unsure, certain the draft. A lot of clubs are telling me this year that the draft's obviously pretty heavily compromised with all the academy selections and all the rest of it. So I've seen articles this week saying, oh, North should go to the draft. That's all well and good, but they'll have to explore free agency as well because the draft's pretty close.
All right. Tom just been cut off there, thank goodness.
Thanks,
no, Tom, are you still...
Is he there?
Brandy's got a question for you, Tom. Sorry.
Tom, I'm hearing that Zach Williams will be an Essendon player next year. Can you confirm that?
No, I can't, Brandy, because I heard from one of my best trade sources 2 days ago, and this is the way these trade things work. That
Which source is that? Is that Hinesy or...?
No. So I'm not quoting any sources, Doug. That North Melbourne have got those two giants stitched up. So... Look, the reality is the Giants' situation is going to depend on Jay Cameron. He's their number one priority. And Jeremy, I keep getting told, is going to re-sign with the Giants, and I'm sure they've got it under control. Having said that, I think he's a pretty good negotiator, a pretty shrewd negotiator, Jeremy Cameron. He's been saying the same thing all year, so make of that what you will.
So, Tom, what was discussed in regard to fixturing as we pushed to, I believe finals was discussed by the commission the other day. What was discussed in terms of where the grand final would be? We were just saying it does appear from the outside looking in that restrictions and regulations in both Adelaide and also in Perth are just too tough to get around. And so therefore it looks like it's going to be Queensland, the state to be for grand final. And that would bring us to the date. If we continue on with these 17 rounds without interruption, it means that we finish on the 18th of September. And then if you look at the 4 weeks from there, it gives a Saturday, the 17th of October, grand final, Caulfield Cup Day, or do you think they'll take a bye before the finals?
BT, I think there will be a bye before the finals or during the finals, which you can extrapolate that out how you like. As for where it's going to be, I think the AFL will base it on relationships and revenue. From a revenue perspective, Optus is the best in Perth. They've got the corporate revenue there. They can fill it up with up to 60,000 fans. The West Australians, a lot of them have got a few bob. They'll pay plenty of money for the tickets.
And regulations, of course, Tom. Regulations in government are making it impossible.
That's the issue, BT. You can't have hubbed grand final teams. They can't go and get locked up for 14 days. It wouldn't be ideal. So if you wanted to go to WA, maybe you need a festival of footy where you'd play the finals over there, for example, and then base the finals around WA. But again, you run into regulation problems. And the AFL is very grateful to the Queensland government who have essentially... save footy. So I think what we could see is FIFO fly in, fly out prelim finals, perhaps to reward Port and to reward West Coast in perhaps the prelims and then play a grand final in Queensland. But the AFL is working through that. And I think they'll have to make the decision in the next week or so. So it's still open and it could come down to money, but it's also going to come down, as you mentioned, BT, to logistics. And some Brisbane Gabba sources tell me they're sprucing up the stadium in preparation for some very big games.
Tommy, we saw All-Australian forward Charlie Cameron go down with a potential season-ending knee injury, we thought. But he looks like he's going to play this week. Surely they don't risk him against North Melbourne?
Well, I'd usually say no, but he went back on the ground after that injury. And then the Lions could have scanned it last Sunday, but they didn't. They scanned it on Monday because they weren't overly concerned by it. He attended the injury clinic there at the Lions on Monday, and they seem cautiously optimistic he could play. So ordinarily I'd say no, but in this instance, I think he might have dodged a bullet. But
hey, Tom,
you can get that bone bruising.
Have you tracked the clinic? Have you tracked the clinic down? You know, in Melbourne, we see that they all go to the same clinic, and there's a camera hiding in the bin there, and then you see Tom
Amy
Brown
Park.
Pop up.
Yeah.
Is there a frequent one that they all use up there?
It's funny you say that, BT. I tracked down the Service Paradise one after one day. We've actually just driven, believe it or not, on the way back from the Sunshine Coast to the Gold Coast. I just passed the Gabba. We passed the Brisbane one again. We were there the other day. So I know exactly where they go. I think the AFL's actually done a deal with a group up here. I think it's called Q-Scan or something, and they all go to these Q-Scan places. But it's an aged population up
here,
and there's scanning clinics everywhere, believe it or not. There's more scanning clinics on the Sunshine Coast and Gold Coast than there are in Melbourne combined.
Tommy, did you pack your koala suit when you went up?
No koala suit. I'm either in the shorts or the suit. No koala suit.
Tommy Brown, very good. All the latest in news.
He just hides in trees. And
he's just doing it
no
up there.
No hiding going on. That was the old me.
Camouflage.
I'm reformed.
You're doing very well, Tommy.
Good work, Tommy.
We're all very jealous of you, mate. Well done. Thank you for joining us. Our next guest is up now, Shane Mumford, who's out of the GWS side along with Phil Davis this week. A couple of really big outs there. Mummy, welcome to you, mate. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me on.
By the way, are you standing outside now or are you inside in the rooms?
No, I'm standing outside watching the boys warm up.
What are the conditions like there at the moment?
It's actually not too bad. The little bit of drizzle that was here before stopped, and it actually looks like it might be okay for the game, so we'll wait and see.
Mummy, you and obviously Jacob's sort of rotating in and out of the team. Is that something you're happy with, or is it purely a case of you have to because of your body?
I would have liked to have played this one, but it's just all about managing the two of us to have us both right and ready to go come the pointy end of the season.
We've seen Tom Papali be the barometer for Sydney. Who goes to him tonight?
I've actually got no idea.
You weren't in the team meetings?
I think you'd send Shorey would be able to niggle at him pretty well down there. Obviously he's playing some great footy. He might be a bit quick for Shorey these days. He's getting quite old.
Mummy, what's it like to play footy? Obviously, get the most out of yourself, retire, and then step away. Obviously, a lot of guys let their hair down. A lot of guys get overweight. It must have been a hard part to get back into football after you've had that mini break and you think, I'm out of this game, but now I'm coming back.
It probably wasn't so bad for me due to going into the boxing. Kept me quite fit and healthy. That was obviously why I was able to come back in half decent shape as I did.
Do you reckon you were fitter as a boxer or a footballer?
Definitely a different fitness, but I was quite fit doing the bag sprints and stuff that you've got to do to get yourself ready to fight even six rounds. Six rounds was hard enough.
Where do you think you would have fitted into the fight scene, Mummy? How would you have gone with anyone in the AFL? Duck, you.
Barry Hall fought
Barry
Paul,
Hall,
Paul Gallen.
Yes. Barry Hall, how would you go?
Well, Mummy and I had a while ago.
Oh, it's about
we,
you,
no,
is it?
No, we had we actually had a quiet beer one night and we were discussing.
Quiet?
It's
not his recollection.
A couple of loud beers.
Yeah.
And we'll talk because that was before the Gallen Hall fight, wasn't it? And I think I asked you and Mummy actually said he would be prepared to take the winner on of that particular. Is that still on the cards if you were, I don't know, are you looking at retiring at the end of this year, Mummy? Would that be on the cards if that was the case?
I'd certainly look at, I definitely want to go back to the boxing as to when a fight or something like that could happen. I think I'd still need a fair bit of training before then, but I'd definitely not say no it's happening at some point down the future.
If you had to choose between Barry or Paul Gallen, yeah, who are you going to first?
Jeez, they're both pretty dangerous, aren't they? I'd probably prefer to take Gal. I don't think Hawley let all of his power go in that fight. So.
And if Mike Tyson in his old age comeback said to you, I just need you to go one round with me, I'll give you 500, would you?
Oh, you'd take the knockout for 500, wouldn't you?
Hey, tell us a little bit about the first game of tonight. Tom Hutchison, what don't we know about him?
What do you know? He's an unbelievable in and under player, hard at it. I've loved watching him this whole pre-season and the few games that I've watched him in the twos. He's a real goer. Just one of them real hard contested little beasts that I love playing with.
Tonight becomes just a must-win game for your crew, doesn't it? Three on the trot, sitting in eighth spot. Can't really afford any hiccups from here on in, can you?
No, not at all. Every game's a must-win from now on. We want to keep ourselves in good form and continue to build on what we have the last couple of weeks.
Good luck. Appreciate your time, Mummy.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Shane Mumford joining us there. It's just interesting. What do you think, Mike Tyson, what do you think is going through? He'd be looking for a couple of, not saying Mummy's one of those, but he'd be looking for a couple of bunnies.
You just did say that.
No, I didn't.
You've said it.
No, because we know that Mummy's never going to fight him, but he would be looking for a couple to stand in front of him that he could bowl over.
Well, there was talk that Barry Hall and Paul Gallen were going to be up for that sort of fight. That'd be a good payday.
He did make comment on that, Mike, and said that it was a little disrespectful to say that those guys could get in the same ring as
him. So what's he looking for, George Foreman or something?
He's going to fight Roy Jones Jr. But Tyson is fighting Roy Jones.
Roy Jones was a middleweight.
Yes, which is why it's a very intriguing fight. That's coming up, I'm led to believe.
You're a good boxer duck, aren't you?
No.
So who's...
I've heard you are.
Yeah, you would like to get in the ring with someone.
Oh, no, BT.
No, you fancy yourself.
I will say...
Are you right over the...
A lot of rumours come out about
right up
Southport.
Just, you know what, stop being dingbats. Move on to our next guest. Who are we speaking to?
No one. That's why we're talking to you.
You are the guest, mate. You are the guest.
Welcome to you, Astua.
What day are we, BT? 12, aren't we? 12? 8 days to go?
Yeah, around 12. We're into
12 of the 20 day.
More than that, aren't we?
It's about 15, I think.
Are we?
Yeah, I think about 15.
Tuesday's the first day without football.
Yeah, okay, I'm just missing days.
Welcome to you, Ash.
Evening, BT. Great to be here.
And you've been enjoying the festive footy, the focus of footy. What's it called?
Footy mania. Footy mania.
Festival of footy.
You like it?
Oh, I'm loving it.
Do you sit home and juice yourself up over it and, you know, like, I'm just going off here. This is
I think he meant oil himself up.
Yeah, Christmas has come early, BT. It's officially Christmas in July, August.
And a bit of paper.
I've got the stats laptop right in front of me.
And you
just dissect all the numbers, take down notes during the quarter time breaks, and nuffy right up, BT.
And what are your information that you gather? Where does it go?
I reckon his information that he gathers would be great for punting, BT. Yeah. He would know total points under, total points over. It's just like numbers coming out of his head the whole time.
Like Rain Man Duck.
Yes. Numbers coming out, almost Goodwill Hunting-like.
You should employ him.
He would know. I think we should.
Ash?
Brownie, when things open up.
I think
we have to get your new computer to all chip in.
It's a little, isn't it?
That went out with ABBA.
Mrs. Chute saw it during the week. She said, look how massive
HP. I thought that was a sauce.
No, Hewlett Packard. They're a very big sponsor of North Melbourne, actually.
And you're still working, Ash. Fridges are an essential.
And air conditioning, heating and cooling, of course, BT. Essential services we are. So
keep the meat nice.
Oh, absolutely. 2 to 4 degrees is the ideal temperature.
I think you need a bigger screen.
Talk us through these two today, Ash. Sydney, and tell us why we should be excited about this.
I think we should be excited, probably with GWS, their form, BT, in particular, over the past six rounds. If you look at the first six rounds of the season, they'll rank 10th for contested board differential and 15th for clearances. I mean, you look at the quality of their midfield. Last five rounds, in fact, they're first for contested possessions and they're fourth for clearances as well. And probably who's made a difference, I reckon, BT, is Tim Taranto. Now, he missed the first six games.
This is his fourth game back, I reckon.
Fourth game back, and he's been the number one rated player at the Giants. In fact, the past two rounds...
He's got better week by week, hasn't he?
No doubt.
Williams back in has been good, too.
But 16th, aren't they, for inside 50s?
And that's been a concern. 16th for inside 50s.
But very efficient.
They were 18th.
Spot on, Duck. Yeah, they were 18th. They've won the inside 50 count the past two rounds.
Asks you a curly one, and you actually, your brain just goes into frazzle mode,
which happens often.
Do you just make it up, or do you find it?
A lot of people ask me that question because they obviously realise I've got a flaw in my game there. Yeah, because I say the sponsor is my best friend. So thank God the Duck has got a sponsor on board. Get Mosh. That's, and when you guys throw to me, or I should say when you try to throw me under a bus by me using the sponsor, it gives me a bit of a 3-second buffer to fumble my way across the keyboard and try to know.
What's the most outstanding stat of these two tonight?
The most outstanding stat, I think we need to look out for your nephew, James Rowbottom, because he's only 19 years of age.
Yeah, he's only 19.
And you know what, BT? He's second at the club in contested ball clearances and tackles.
Yeah, he's gone into the mid. He's doing well. He's going real
Ash,
good.
Ash, looking at the ladder, and if Collingwood beat Melbourne this weekend, can you see a change in the ladder, or is the top eight set?
You know what? I was actually
based on that game.
I can't see a change in the ladder whatsoever. That was to happen.
But what if Melbourne beat Collingwood? Does it open it up then? Because Melbourne are 6 points behind Collingwood at the moment. Obviously, if they win that, you do the math, they're only 2 points behind them. But if yeah. they lose, I don't think the eight can change.
No, I don't think the eight can change either.
Nine teams, I reckon, if Melbourne were to win. That would be Port, Brisbane, Geelong, Eagles, St Kilda, Richmond, Collingwood and Melbourne.
And, Duck, how many sides at the moment, generally, do you think can win the premiership?
Oh, look, I've always said, and I think the last few years have proven, that if you make the eight, you can win it. Bulldogs won it from seventh. and you, if you're in good form at that time, I still think...
All right.
I still think there's 10 teams that could win the premiership, play their best footy, could win the premiership.
I've got real concerns about the Brisbane Lions being able to do it on the big day with their forward structure. Because I think...
Well, the reliance on Charlie Cameron...
is huge.
Is huge.
For a small man.
And I agree. Like, he would kick these five goals, but they were... You kick
wasn't
a good,
convincing.
You kick
it?
A good
he's
five
not a big man.
You kick a bad five. Yeah.
He doesn't fill you with the confidence that a Charlie Dixon's filling you with at the moment.
No.
Or long down the line kick to a Tom Lynch or a Jack Riewoldt. And when it comes to finals, preliminary final, grand final, you can't expect Charlie Cameron to kick 4, 5, 6, which he's going to need to do, because I don't think Eric Hipwood can do what Charlie Dixon, Tom Lynch is going to do for those clubs. And West Coast, obviously, with Darling. So
I agree.
I'm almost saying Brisbane are going to have it up against them to win the premiership.
Guys like McCarthy and Neil, obviously, he's been kicking goals through the midfield. These guys, they have to hit the scoreboard. I agree. That is a little bit of a concern. But no, Brisbane can certainly win it, Brown. I still think they can win it. But, you know, you look at West Coast, clearly, for me, are the flag favourites. And I've thought that
You've just told me
through.
10 clubs can win
the
premiership. But ten. Brian's just told you that there won't be a change in eight.
So the top eight the top eight now, and out of the top eight.
He's got two clubs winning at the not even making finals.
No, well, they might still jump in. I think the Western Bulldogs footy is as good as anyone's when they're playing at their absolute best.
When they're winning contested footy.
So they could jump in. And I also, and I believe it or not, and I know people, I still think Melbourne's footy.
Yeah, I like Melbourne.
I think Melbourne's footy is good enough if they get
their best.
They've got to obviously beat Collingwood. That's massive.
They beat Collingwood. Collingwood aren't playing good enough
at the
moment.
Well, you know what? If they don't beat Collingwood, then they don't deserve to play finals.
You know what most of those teams in the eight at the moment do, Brownie? Most of them have in common that they play quick and straight and direct and they go. All the other fart-ass teams that want to chip down the boundary and chip across and have 35,000 possessions in the back half before they decide to go forward to the boundary line and it's punched over and they throw it in, most of the teams in the eight actually play reasonably quick, don't they?
They do.
But if you look through, like the Gold Coast Suns are playing some exciting footy. I know they'd lost a few in a row and drew last night. As I said, the Bulldogs. The Bombers are a little bit...
hit and miss.
Yeah, they're hit and miss for me. I don't think their goal scorer or the way they're playing looks anything like a final.
Connor McKenna, he's strange at the moment. Got the opportunity to go forward. He's been asking for a couple of years, I want to play forward, I don't want to play back, I want to play forward, and he got the shits and wanted to go home and homesick and all of these sort of things, and still that way. He just doesn't seem... There's something funny going on with him at the moment, I reckon.
The Heath Shaw incident was a strange one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They would have won that game, I believe, if he hadn't have upended Heath Shaw. It was a 12-point margin at that stage. Heath Shaw kicks the goal.
You just don't know what's going on with a lot of these players at the moment, BT.
No,
and we, you know... I mean, you know, he clearly does have homesickness. He did go home. He's obviously been talked into coming back. So where he's at mentally, we just don't know. I think he's a really important player. I don't necessarily think he's a forward. You've got to be. I think he's a defender. He's a dashing defender.
Can St Kilda win it, Duck?
Can St Kilda win it? Yep.
Are we taking Port Adelaide seriously enough?
Yep.
I think so, because I think they've got the most damaging big man in the game right now in Charlie Dixon.
He's the best big forward in the game by the...
Well, the two best are up against each other and opposing teams tomorrow night, aren't they? Tom Hawkins and...
Yep.
Put them both in the All-Australian side, by the way. One in the forward pocket, one in full forward.
And Josh Kennedy. I think all three of them go in the All-Australian side. Imagine kicking to a forward line of Tom Hawkins, Josh Kennedy and Charlie Dixon. And then obviously you'd have Tom Papley maybe in a pocket. You'd probably have Butler on the other half forward flank. And then
Charlie Cameron.
And
geez, that's a forward line.
That is a forward line.
All right, Brownie, you're going to take us through game mode. And we're only 5 minutes away from the kickoff here. And we're going to jump into it. Ash has got some stats to start us off. And then I'm going to leave it to you and Bernard and Duck to talk the game off. We are 4 minutes and 23 seconds until the bounce.
Are we? No, we're not.
Sydney's
we're
still
15,
in the rooms.
We're 15 minutes away.
There's another ad break.
We're 18 minutes, BT.
No. I asked you before, is there any more ad breaks? You said no.
That's fair. He did say that.
I did say that, didn't
yes,
I?
No, oh, no.
Uh-oh. Oh, look.
Brownie.
This is the BT of olden. No, saying,
I have run out of words, so now your turn.
All right, Ash. Let's go through a stats wrap for Mosh. What can we expect from this game tonight?
Well, what can we expect? We spoke about the contested ball. As we know, Swans missing a lot of key players in the midfield. They're 15th for contested ball differential. In fact, three times this season, they've lost a contested possession count by 20 or more. An interesting stat for the Giants, as Duck spoke about, 16th for inside 50s, but they're very efficient. Number one for goal scoring efficiency, and also lead the competition for set shots as well. They're going at 74%. AFL average is 61. I just want to highlight this particular player here, Brownie. Luke Parker, he leads the Swans in contested possessions, clearances and tackles this year. Since 2013, he's played 173 out of a possible 179 games, averaging 25 disposals, 5 clearances and kicked 144 majors. Missed a consistency.
Triple M, get Mosh Das, get Mosh Men's Health Made Easy. Treat hair loss, skin, mental health and more online at getmosh.com.au. Bernie, tagging seems to have gone out of the game again this year. Early season, there was some good tagging roles being played. Matty DeBoer was doing it, did it in the grand final in the final series last year. But there's not a lot of taggers going on at the moment. And it's very rare that you see it happen. But when you do see it happen, a couple of weeks ago, I think, Kane Lambert got tagged for the first time in his career. Did not go near the ball.
Yeah, you're not seeing much of it. And I get surprised when I watch Brisbane play. I think, why doesn't someone go to Lachie Neale? He stats up. He does everything. Clearance, he hits the scoreboard inside 50. You'd think you'd just stop that source and force someone else in that side to pick up the slack. So, I mean, it's a big surprise. And I don't think Sydney probably haven't got the midfielder you'd expect the ball to go to, you know, tonight. So, I don't know. Is it a lost sort of art? Are we losing the tagger?
I think if you've got one, you certainly do. And DeBoer's clearly that for GWS. As you see, he's obviously out at the moment. Ben Jacobs at North, but that was a couple of years ago.
Maynard does a defensive half of the ground at Collingwood, so he'd take the major small forward like a Dustin Martin or a Toby Green.
Yeah, but that's not a tag. And this is why when, you know, everyone raves about the midfielders getting, you know, 25, 30 possessions. They don't shake hands. They touch elbows. Mm. And so you see at the end of the game.
There's a lot of matchups type tagging. It's not really a tagging role, but it's a matchup around the stoppage. So they'll take a key like a Bontempelli. What they do, if the tag player is getting tagged, he generally drags him to full forward.
Or goes to someone else.
And it creates a lot of confusion, and there's a lot of like, well, what do I do now? And, you know, it creates confusion for the midfield. So I think there's a lot of sort of, take him at the stoppage and we'll take him as a team around the ground. You've seen that with Bontempelli and Martin and these guys, because as soon as they do get sat on, as Duck said, they go to someone else, create confusion, or go forward and have an impact on if it's a smaller type tagger. So I think that's probably why we're losing it a little bit as well.
Brownie, you're the best at tipping winners. Ash, the fixture, quick, you've got a minute. Run through the fixture, give us a winner for each game. Brownie, go. Here we go.
Geelong versus Port Adelaide tomorrow night.
Geelong.
Geelong for me.
I think Port Adelaide.
Yep, keep
Kangaroos
going, Ash.
Kangaroos taking on Brisbane.
Brisbane Lions.
Yeah, Brisbane.
Melbourne versus Collingwood.
Melbourne.
Ooh.
Dockers taking on the Blues at Optus Stadium.
Ooh. The Blues.
Dockers.
I'm going Freo.
Sunday, St Kilda versus the Bombers at the Gabba.
St Kilda.
Saints.
Yep.
West Coast over the Hawks at Optus Stadium.
West Coast.
Mm.
And the last game to complete the round, Richmond taking on the Suns up at the Gabba.
Richmond.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.